Hello and welcome back to the Woman, Asian and Bloody Immigrant podcast. Here is part 2 of episode 3, Racism in Hong Kong. Okay, going back to languages for a second, don't you guys find it absolutely stupid and ridiculous that the Hong Kong Education of Hong Kong Bureau of Education wants us ethnic minorities to continue learning basic Chinese, basic level of Chinese, even in primary school? Because I remember, did you guys know that? First of all,
yeah, I do know that.
Yeah, I remember when I first started primary school, we used to have like normal, the mainstream Chinese books until I think it was primary two is when they changed the textbooks to just like normal, basic, like papa, mama, like simple Chinese. And we continued with that same level of Chinese until primary six.
Oh, yeah, that happened to us as well.
Exactly. And we both, like all three of us, went to like a mainstream local Chinese school afterwards. And I didn't know that we were learning like the basic to basic Chinese until I got to secondary school. And they were like learning ancient, like William Shakespeare level type of Chinese in secondary school.
Is it the secondary one? Was it like similar to the DSE they're doing?
Yeah, but Bureau of Education in Hong Kong just decided that, oh, and the reason they did that is because, you know, there were immigrant children coming from Pakistan, coming from India or coming from other countries, and they were like 10, 11, 12 years old, and they couldn't learn Chinese as fast. So they decided to just change the entire syllabus to basic Chinese because they thought we as ethnic minorities, every single one of us, even the ones who were born in Hong Kong and were growing up in Hong Kong, we just could not learn Chinese. So the solution is just dump down the language so that we could understand. I just like when you like just dig deeper into that decision, it kind of, in my opinion, kind of shows their bigotry, because they honestly, like all these experts in the education department of Hong Kong, thought that we as ethnic minorities have such low intellect that we can learn a language even if we are born and raised in Hong Kong. So the solution is just dumb down the language and let us learn Chinese up until we're 15, 16, and just set us up for failure in later on in life.
You know what? Yeah, I kind of agree with you, because like, you know how even in UMA, we, the whole from form one when we studied there, from primary one to primary six, we learned the same basic mama, papa. And then that, like, that's literally all I knew in like Chinese.
Yeah, because that's what they said that we should be learning.
Yeah, which is so dumb. We should have been taught more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I agree that there were a lot of immigrants coming from, you know, countries over, and they couldn't learn Chinese to the same level. Like a 10-year-old couldn't learn Chinese immediately. So yeah, they had to learn the basic one. But don't like mess up our capability to learn Chinese.
Yeah.
Like I often think about this. What would have happened if they just let us learn Chinese at the normal pace?
Yeah.
You know, by the time I graduated primary school, I would have been fluent in it.
True.
And that just makes me really, really angry when I think about it, because this, the whole this stupid decision is setting us up for failure, because later on in life we need to pass Chinese DSC, we need to pass Chinese for jobs, for university, for just basic, just living in Hong Kong. I mean, imagine you're living in an English country, and immigrant people are coming over and they can't learn English as fast. So what they do is they just dump down English, and all you know is, oh, I like my father, I like my mother, I have four brothers, I have four sisters, like just that level of English for 6 years in primary school, until you get to secondary school and you realize that everyone is reading William Shakespeare plays and they understand William Shakespeare's play level of English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely get what you say, because you know why, what happened recently, like obviously, like even in my high school, like we were divided into groups, even though I actually like that, because my primary school ki jo, sorry, when I was in primary school, our Chinese, at least the one that we were taught, was, you know, very, 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 very basic. So when I went into secondary school, like unlike your case where it must have been so much harder for you, in my case, they knew that we were going to be a lot of ethnic minorities, and how ethnic minorities, you know, they have different situations and different levels of Chinese. So our school divided us into three groups, yeah, according to our level, like how good we were. Mm. So I feel like, you know, thank God, because like that really helped me, to be completely honest. Like I was in the lowest level, but then I, you know, I think, yeah. But that was really good. Like, honestly, I feel like that was really good. That, like, my teacher that taught me basic Chinese. So I feel like I'm really thankful for my high school for having that system, like, to divide us into three groups. Because I feel like if they straight up just put me in, like, a very, really, like, mushkil wala set, I would have been, like, lost. Like, I would have heard nothing. So maybe I'm gonna murder you.
No, I'm not. I'm so sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I just remembered, like, this, because you're right. It was a bit harder for us in LKL because they never had, like, they didn't know how to.
They didn't cater to you guys, like the
language. They didn't cater to us because they didn't know. So for the first 2 years, we were just like sat in the same class with the rest of the Chinese kids, just trying to keep up. We weren't even in the race, I guess, in the first place, because we just had no idea. But I just remember this one time, in Form 1, the Chinese teacher looked at us and said, "Tapi Thong Ha," you know, special students. And just every time she referred to us, she was like, "Tapi Thong Ha, special students. And it just got so ridiculous. I have to say, these things make me laugh, but deep down, they're just very embarrassing, to be honest. Like, yeah. Imagine just sitting in the class, everyone's like fully getting on with the syllabus, and you're just like even looking down at the page, like, what is this? Like, I could have been holding the book upside down and it would still be confusing. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. But honestly, even though, like, in high school, like, they did, because, you know, if you don't do DSEs, you can do GCSEs, right?
Yeah, that one started for us in Form 3. So in Form 3, that's when we had a separate class.
Yeah, but our school, because you were only a few students. How many students were you guys?
In my year, 6 of us.
We're like 20-something.
Mm.
And
so that's like a whole class.
Yeah, and per se, you know, for our Chinese class, they didn't like differentiate Form 1, Form 2, Form 3. They just mixed everyone together, because we were only Form 1, Form 2, Form 3 at that moment. Like, we were Form 1, Form 2, and then after that, we were Form 1, Form 2, Form 3. So they just mixed all, we all had Chinese class at the same time. So in my class, there were kids that were my seniors, and there were kids that were my juniors. Like all the ethnic minority classes would be mixed, put into three groups of, you know, easy, medium, hard, or like the three levels, basically. Mm. So I think that was really good because I feel like because of that, I really learned a lot. But at the same time, unfortunately, it wasn't enough.
Mm.
But to me, like, obviously. Ek taraf se, you know, there was my school actually had some extra Chinese classes as well. And they were good. They would have been good if I paid attention. That's my fault. That's on me. But I didn't even really, because they said that we could do GCSEs or whatever. So I didn't really care. And that's really bad to say, to be honest. But it made me, like, honestly, when I went to uni, I thought that, oh, Chinese doesn't matter anymore. Because, you know, uni, everything is in English.
Mm.
So I kind of forgot the importance of Chinese. Like, I won't lie. Because your lectures, your examination, emails, everything is in English. But then when I had to look for my bachelor's, right? Because I did associates. So when I was looking for my bachelor's, there was this university I wanted to apply to, which was a private university. And I did the interview. Everything was in English. Everything was completely fine. And in the interview, they asked me, like, do you speak Chinese? I was like, oh, I speak really little. Not a lot, but enough to, like, go through the day.
Yeah,
like, just have a conversation or whatever. And they were like, oh, yeah, our school is really, like, accepting towards different minorities and stuff. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool, whatever. And then after the interview, I was waiting for the results. And then one of the people who are in charge of the, you know, people, basically whoever was in charge, he came to me and he was like, you have to take a test. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you need to take a Chinese language test.
Dheere se bolo. You're very loud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like... So I was like, he was like, you need to take a language test. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what test? I was not prepared for this. He was like, you need to take a Chinese language test. I was like, oh, shit. Because I have not, like, written Chinese or seen Chinese words. Like, I've seen Chinese words, but not in the way that I have to. Like,
yeah. You have to remember and, you know.
Yeah, like, I haven't written a Chinese word in so long. Like, literally in 3 or 4 years, I had not done anything, like, Chinese related. And then suddenly he's asking me to do a test. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I was like, there's no use. I already gave my GCSEs. Like, why are you asking me to do this? He's like, oh, because in our uni, apparently, you need to take Chinese classes. So I was like, fine, let's just see the test. I'm an ethnic minority, so maybe, like, they would know or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I go in, and the paper, I look at the paper. I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't even need to, like, start doing it. The minute I look at it, I'm like, I'm so screwed. Like, I literally, at that moment, I had that feeling that I never had in, like, forever. I had, like, because, you know, I always had to, my junior year, I mean, I always felt like, oh, my God, Chinese, I need to keep up. Whenever I looked at Chinese words, I was like, shit, I need to work hard. Normally, when I got the Chinese papers or whatever, it was fine. I understood some, but in that exam room or whatever, when I was looking at that paper, I didn't understand anything. Like, even, like, I looked at words and I was like, I know this. Like, I've studied this. I know this word, but I just couldn't remember. And I literally, I had that feeling that, oh, my God, again, it's back. It's back. Oh, my God, Chinese is back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that, like, feeling with Chinese, I totally get that. I don't know how to explain it, but
in high school, my whole life, I was like, they were like telling us how Chinese, you need to know Chinese. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're not going to survive. Chinese ke bina kuch nahi hoga, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly I have university, mein sab kuch English. So, you know, I forgot. And then in this interview, I was reminded of that fear again. And I literally wanted to cry.
That fear that Chinese is just going to ruin your life. Like, Chinese was my worst subject. Next to maths, Chinese and maths, like, they literally were detrimental to my mental health. Because that's how they make it, like, that's how they make it sound. But can I just say that to me, it feels like, I think the uni shouldn't be allowed to do that. Because the reason... I'm just saying, the reason they introduced GCSE Chinese and GCE Chinese is to let us ethnic minorities have a better chance to enter uni so that we don't have to take Chinese DSE Chinese because that's way too hard. So they let us, the government let us take GCSE and GCE. They changed the rules for us to get into uni. So for the uni to come out and give their own Chinese test paper for you, I don't think they should be allowed to do that. That's just another, like, another barrier, another way to, like, keep you out from the uni that you want to go to. I think you were wronged in this situation. That's just from the information that I have right now, that they shouldn't be allowed. If you have your GCSE, that's just, like, your ticket to get into any uni you want, in my opinion. Yeah, not even my opinion. That's just the rules that's just the rules. I think you've been wronged, seriously. Like, this is like me taking A levels English and then going to uni and they're telling me, oh, you still have to take this another English test for our uni.
I really don't know what to think about the situation, because when I looked at that paper, it wasn't like it would have been impossible to do. Like, if I was still in my Chinese class in high school, like, you know, if my teacher was there with me, continuing to teach me, I feel like maybe I would have been able to do something. Like, you know, I could have been able to write at least, like, a sentence or just something, you know. But because I didn't study Chinese for so long, I couldn't write.
Yeah. If you give me a Chinese paper to do right now, I would get I would get zero marks. Because it's been 3 years for me. I cannot have a conversation now. I can't read Chinese that much, only like simple words. My listening is good, but if you tell me to have like a full-on GCSEs exam paper, I'm going to get zero marks, or maybe one or two for sure. Because I think academically and like socially, our lives in Hong Kong are so segregated, so separated, that, you know, learning Chinese as a second language, a third language, like fluently, is very, very hard. And some part of it is on us. We have to take the blame. But I think just the way that Hong Kong's society is structured, and especially the academic path for us ethnic minorities, it just makes it way, like, more harder for us to learn Chinese and, you know, be fluent in it. Because if you think about it, the kindergartens that we go to are filled with ethnic minority children. And then the primary school that we are given by the government are filled with ethnic minorities. And then the secondary schools that we are also given by the government are filled with ethnic minorities students. There are schools, primary, kindergarten, primary and secondary schools that are, their reputation is that this is an ethnic minority school only. Do you get me? It's like, it's exactly the segregation era in United States when there were only like black only students and white only student schools. And that's the same exact picture in Hong Kong right now. And then when we go to mainstream schools like we did, you guys went to Kachi, I went to LKL, those schools are like, they just have a completely different syllabus to the ones that we have. Completely different syllabus. Like, if you compare Dahlia with my school, LKL, they have a different syllabus. So obviously, and they have better resources. LKL has better resources than Dahlia, the one that's meant for ethnic minorities.
Another thing I wanted to talk about.
See? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even the schools we get, the opportunities, the whatever we get, those schools, let's not lie, Band 3.
Because of the budget, the resources, the syllabus, the teachers, the type of teachers they hire, because they don't have the money to hire like better professional teachers. That this is what pisses me off so much, is every single thing in the structure, in the academic structure, is setting us up for failure And I really find it hard. I find it hard to take the blame, because is it in our hands? Yes, we could have worked harder. Yeah, we could have worked harder.
Because to be honest, I feel like a lot of our kids at that age, you know, during the time that they should have worked harder or whatever, they're just so, they don't have expectations. They don't have hopes. Because I have met a few kids at this moment that are supposed to do DSEs or are preparing for DSEs or like Form 3, Form 2. I speak to them, and whenever I ask them, what are your plans? They don't have an answer. Like, I feel like it's because their environment and just their situation, they're just like, oh, graduate, okay, kya karna hai? University.
Yeah, but I'll tell you personally, this is just my personal experience, up until the day I left Hong Kong and moved to Ireland, the idea that I could even go to uni was not even like possible in my mind. Like that, I just could not picture myself going to uni. I just knew for a fact that I would graduate secondary school and do maybe a foundation degree, associate degree, and maybe go to uni. But it just never felt like a sure path.
Same.
But the minute I left Hong Kong, it just seemed like a possibility to me, like, yeah, that's where I'm going. Every time in secondary school, when they used to like invite alumni, previous students, and they used to talk about uni and applications and all that, like, it just never connected with me. It's like dreaming that you'll be famous someday. Like, have you, like, you know, I'll be famous someday, but it's never gonna happen.
That's a dream, girl. That's one of my
dreams. Yeah, keep dreaming.
Yeah, but I totally get what you mean. Like, you know, even that now, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm in City University.
Yeah.
It still, like, doesn't, I can't believe it that I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Like, oh my God, shit. Wow, what the fuck? I mean, what the hell? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could never imagine myself in situ, like, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Like, even the first week I got accepted and everything, like, even when I was in my classes, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh shit, I'm invested. It was so dumb. Like, you know, even like literally a month after I was already in, I was going through classes. One day I was just walking with my friend who got into bachelor's as well. I was like, you know, I still can't believe I'm in bachelor's.
See, like, you know, Chinese kids don't have this feeling. They don't know, like, going to uni is just, yeah, it's just the next obvious step. Mm-hmm. But it's the biggest. You don't agree with that? Come on.
No. Because I feel like it's also about money. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
I also feel like money is a big deal as well. Like, for example, my sister, she goes to she doesn't go to like a government school. She goes to YMCA. It's like a mix. She doesn't go to a local school. So she goes to YMCA, right? And I can tell you, like, my sister transferred from a local school to YMCA. And I see her work. I see her workload. I see the type of classes she has. Her syllabus is really different from a local school. Like, at least my sister's, my school at least. Like, they have more, their teachers prepare them for DSE, they have more load, they have just a lot of things that are prepared for them that they have to do in order to get in. Like, I feel like they have better chances to get into even a SO or even bachelor's because they have so much resources.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
No, but it's not even a Chinese school, do you know what I mean? It's not a local school.
No, I meant, you know, when I said like Chinese kids don't have this feeling, I meant like this feeling that, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in uni. Do you get what I mean? Because like when you're in primary school, you know that the next step is secondary school. Like,
right.
No,
okay,
question.
I get what you mean.
Yeah, see, like, no question. Next step is secondary school. But we're at the end of the secondary school. Yeah, but like your point is true. Like, it's true to the previous point when we were talking about how, like, in quotations, ethnic minorities, secondary schools have less resources. Reiterating your point, Komal, your point when you were talking about your sister's school, how like they have much more resources. Like higher standard of work ethic and resources and workload just to prepare them towards uni, whereas in quotation ethnic minorities schools, Dalia, Caritas, all the whatever other schools, there's not that kind of environment where everything, all our syllabus and resources and, you know, teach classes, lesson plans, everything is directed towards getting us to uni. It's not like that. It's just like teaching us, getting us to do tests, exams, and just graduate. It's never like, yes, you guys can go to uni. This is what you have to do. So obviously, if you're not translating that message to ethnic minority students, they don't have any plans because you're not showing them the path.
Oh, and you know, I kind of get offended when people keep recommending like ethnic minorities to specific occupations. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that our school.
Yeah. Oh,
for the boys, construction.
Oh,
for the
girls, God, so
teacher, English teacher. And it's like so annoying.
It's like I'm honestly trying just to help,
but it's like.
They're not helping. It's not help, man. Just stop giving them the
you know, because the thing is, unke nazar mein, it's like, oh my God, we're trying to help them. But then at the same time, it's like,
no, we don't need your help. You've helped us enough, man. You've helped us enough. Like, I just remembered, oh my God, when, what's his name? The previous chief executive. Now I don't know his name.
I swear I know his name. I literally I know his name.
The one we hated, the one we wanted.
Lan Chang Ying.
Yes, that guy. Someone at a conference, like a summit for ethnic minorities in Hong Kong. Someone asked him, like, what should we do to help ethnic minorities integrate more into like mainstream society in Hong Kong? You know what he suggested?
What?
He said, we should build more schools specifically for ethnic minorities. I don't understand his logic, man. I can't even explain or paraphrase. Okay, let me ask this question. Let me see if you guys have an answer. What are your solutions to help ethnic minorities in Hong Kong, especially students?
Don't.
Or just generally?
Put them in local schools.
Don't put them in local schools?
Put them in local schools.
Oh, put them in local schools. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like she's sounding like Luan Chung Ying.
For me? I feel like...
And also, I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, come on, shall we bold it? Wait, I have. And don't do that mama papa thing. Don't teach them mama papa like throughout their primary school years.
Mm.
You know, they're basic. Don't just teach them basic Chinese and like throughout their primary school years.
Because, you know, there are so many different kinds of ethnic minorities that come from different situations. I feel like first of all, I feel like it can't only be the effort from the government. I feel like the government should promote more, like, you know, encourage not only students, but also like parents, you know, who have kids to send their kids to local schools, like make sure, because, you know, you have to give the confidence, you have to build confidence towards the ethnic minorities that, okay, if your kid goes to a local kindergarten, we are going to take care of him. If he gets bullied, we're going to take care of it. Because I feel like a lot of ethnic minority parents, they don't mind sending their kids to local schools. The problem is that they are afraid that they will not have the support. Obviously, when you send someone who is obviously a minority to a place where they'll be alone, where there won't be someone, you know, to be their partner or whatever, they are going to struggle at first. That's like 100%. So I feel like from the home and also from the government, the government has to provide some sort of confidence to the guarantee confidence or whatever to the parents, so the parents will feel encouraged to send their kids to local kindergartens. I'm just talking about children right here, like people who are born in Hong Kong, because there are so many people who come like in secondary school, in like primary school. Like, we're talking from local kids, like, you know, the encouragement to enroll into kindergartens that are locals. And if, because, you know, every child, there's a complex of how, you know, we are brought up in different households, raised with different parenting styles. So it would be also good if the government would provide, like, not provide, but like there would be some sort of support group. Like, if your kid is struggling or whatever, you know, we have this one teacher who will help him. It doesn't have to be a ethnic teacher. It can be a local teacher who is more aware of the, who's more indulged in ethnic minority problems, or not problems, but, you know, struggles, or who would understand how to take care of a kid who feels left out, not even ethnically, a kid who is struggling or whatever. You know what I'm, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Makes sense.
Yeah. And okay, then I feel like the kid will struggle, but inshallah, you know, the kids will go through kindergarten, and obviously still enforce the Chinese. I feel like you cannot loosen the Chinese, for especially if you're born in Hong Kong, if you have already indulged them into a local curriculum, that would be the best for the child growing up to learn Chinese.
That's, you know, very, like, very, very good suggestion, because, like, people look at primary, secondary schools kids, but, like, again, in my personal experience, both my younger sisters started in local kindergarten schools and then just continued on to local primary and secondary, and their Chinese is just fluent, like fully fluent.
Yeah, I know friends who went
to primary. That's why we should, that's why we should start with kindergarten and primary. Just send them to local kindergarten schools.
Like, you know.
Yeah, and you can learn any language up until the age of 12.
You know, and Upar Se English is much easier to grasp, because I feel like, you know, so many shows
it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And Upar Se, it's not like local schools don't teach English. They still teach English, right? So I just feel like the emphasis should be on Chinese, because at the end of the day, when they... Because I feel like,
when but also because when they're around, when they're around local Chinese kids at the age of 3, 4, 5, 6, you just pick up Chinese naturally.
Yeah, and also, like, the, you know, obviously we have our own way of socializing, right?
Mm.
They will also understand how Chinese people socialize, or at least
socialize. Yeah.
And also, we've talked about kids,
I think also we'll be encouraged to learn and, like, you know, to make friends. Just, you know, they'd be in a position where, oh, you know, they have to make friends and stuff like that. And they'll be more encouraged to learn and want to speak to them. So, you know, they're more likely to speak and learn Chinese.
Yeah.
Mm.
And other than that, I also feel like diversity should be taught in kindergartens as well. Like, I don't know how, like, I'm not a genius in that, because I've never really thought of how, but I believe kids pick up things really easily. So I think diversity should be introduced and encouraged in kindergarten.
Yeah.
So that kids will be, because, you know, kids can be really mean sometimes. Like, because kids learn stuff very easily, right? So I feel like if we introduce diversity and, you know, different ethnicities, different culture at a really young age, they will be less, I mean, I can't even say discriminatory, but, like, they'll be more.
No, but it makes a big sense, because, like, look at us. Like, you know, like, I never looked at my Indian friends differently.
Yeah. Or
Pali friends. You just, because you grow up with them, you just see them as normal people.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no division.
Because I know not everyone, because, you know, not every kindergarten will be able to have ethnic minorities, because maybe in the area that the kindergarten is, there's not a lot of minorities. But I still feel like whether you have a minority in your school or not, you should encourage diversity.
Yeah, but you, like, you, what you're saying, encourage more kids to, instead of going to, like, Sun Island or, like, you know, just ethnic minority kindergartens, again in quotations, to send them to local mainstream kindergarten, I feel like the problem will just solve itself a bit more naturally and organically.
yeah,
of the problem yeah. of integration.
Yeah, yeah. But I also feel like there should be like a lesson for culture diversity. Like, not obviously not Islamic cultural diversity. Like,
yeah, because Hong Kong is a very
introducing yeah. different. Yeah, just introducing different cultures. Like, oh my god, like, you know, this country is blah blah blah. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, like, I guess in university, I feel like everyone's so open. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. Like, when you're older and when you're out of that primary and secondary constraints, you're just, you know, you see, you're open a lot more.
And diversity is actually a big topic in university.
I was going to say that, you know, how in like uni, I've noticed everyone actually like doesn't, you know, I haven't faced like discrimination in university. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to work with you. Everyone's nice. Everyone wants to be friends with you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like that. I hope.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, but I feel like they'll be better parents. You know, our generation will be better at teaching our kids about, you know, like other races and other cultures and stuff like that. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Anything else to add?
No, but my laptop is 4%.
Okay. Then we have to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Wait, one more. I haven't finished.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, fine. I won't say anything.
No,
about
no,
it, though.
No, please.
Voila. Yeah, I was saying, because we only spoke about kids that were born here. Because I know that, you know, we can't ignore the fact that there are kids who got introduced to Chinese late. So just like how our school did, they divided into three groups. Because obviously you can't teach kids that don't understand Chinese, like, really hard Chinese. So I feel like dividing them into basically three groups would be really
yeah basically
good as well.
Keep the basic language program just for them, not for all of us.
Yeah, not like a across the board thing.
Yeah, finally we did this episode. It was a very good episode. You had so much
really?
I feel like this is a never ending topic. Like, we can just go on and on
and
on.
Also,
I think you can like make part two, part three with other people.
Exactly. Like this. Yeah, I could just go on and on, like ask people about them, and I would have like different answers to all of it. Okay, I love you guys so much. Can we like let Honey out of her misery of her 4% laptop?
Yeah, it's 3% now. Let me snap for you guys.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your experience and just, thank you so much.
I feel like I spoke too much.
As always.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And if you have any other ideas on what we can talk about on this podcast, please reach out to us and share them with us. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in for the next episode.